If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
In Philippians, Paul writes something to this church. I want you to try to develop the pastoral, the apostolic mindset here. When he gets to the fourth chapter, as he does with 98% of his writings, it is usually the end of Paul's writings are usually reserved for the revelation of his heart. In the introductions, he talks about his calling, his appointment, and his responsibilities. In the body of his letters, they are filled with theological truths to help you understand more of what God wants. But when he closes these letters, he then begins to talk about those things that are dear to him. He then begins to talk about the Christian assimilation into the secular world and how we are to be different as we apply the truths of the middle of the book or the letter. This book, this letter to the Philippians is no different. Paul brings them to this fourth chapter. And in this fourth chapter, verse 4, he gives his instruction to the believer that is based on the other truths that he's taught. His final assessment: rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. This sets the stage for the rest of his teaching. In other words, the attitude of the believer must be one of rejoicing. Why doesn't he say praise? Why doesn't he say worship? Because praise and worship are more than attitudes. They are responses. Praise is the response to the works of God. Worship is the response to the person of God. So when he gets to this part, he says, rejoice always. Have the attitude of rejoicing. In other words, your attitude as a believer should be one of continuous rejoicing. He already told you how to do it. Sing some songs, you know, get some parties going on. Why? Because when the rejoicing is present, the devil can't saturate your mind. Listen to what he says. From the rejoicing, he slips into the revelation of my lifestyle to the sinners. Because I rejoice, I am consistently reminded about God. When I rejoice, I can't complain. When I rejoice, I don't become extremely lascivious for fleshly things. When I rejoice, I don't become greedy. When I rejoice, I learn that whatever God has given me is good. Because the apostle now, this is not a hodgepodge. Usually in Paul's conclusions, they are connecting truths that lead us to a relationship with God that's more advanced than before. He teaches here that we should rejoice in the Lord always and again to rejoice. And then he says, because I'm walking in this rejoicing, because my attitude towards God is different, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let them see the results of your Christian life. Listen carefully. This is where it becomes very difficult for Christians in this century, in this world. We are supposed to be content with what we have. You are not to seek more than what God has given you at that moment. Let me tell you why. Because when you seek outside of present position, it creates frustration. Now you've got to try and find ways to get it. Now some of you are automatically saying, Pastor, does that mean I shouldn't seek a raise on my job? I'm going to tell you, no. And I'm going to leave it with that and make you mad. I need you to get mad, because usually 11:30 people, y'all just all praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to get you mad now. Listen carefully. Because when you seek that, you use human methods to get it and get frustrated when you don't. Watch this now. Go with me. That's why I didn't want to go through this passage. I wanted to go right over to verse 10. Listen to what he says. That's why the amens are way down. Listen to this now. After the moderation is given, listen to what he says. The Lord is at hand. That means I can't seek stuff in this world and seek the kingdom at the same time. I can't do it. Because the stuff in this world pulls at my passion. I become angry when I don't get it. I blame people for not having it. I determine that these folks aren't treating me right. And I'm missing the sovereignty of God, who says, but I want you to go down this road so you'll understand what I'm doing in your life. Because most of us want increase to feed the debt that our lust has accumulated. God promised to supply what you need, not what you want. It's your wants that led you into debt, not your needs. Many churches today are in financial ruin because of the pastor's lust to have a cathedral rather than a meeting place just to bring God's people together. When we build our church, we ain't having no marble walls and 14-karat gold fittings. Why do we need 14-karat gold faucets in the bathroom? Why do we need cashmere carpeting in the bishop's office? How does that glorify Christ? That's right, get mad. You're going to tell me I can't have the best. Tell you what God said. You can have whatever you want, as long as you can afford it. My mother used to say that I was a troublemaker. Now I accept that responsibility. Listen to what he says. The Lord is coming. That's what the Lord is at hand means. He's saying you and I should be moderate because the Lord is coming. Why are you chasing stuff that's going to be left here? Why are you spending all of your energies to pocket what's worthless? The Lord is at hand. You hear what I say? Have you approached the coming of the Lord with the same passion that you've approached getting more money? Have you approached the saturation of the Word of God in your spirit with the same passion as you have getting yourself more marketable to the world? I'm so glad. Turn the cameras around, put it on the audience. Anybody that gets up and walks out, focus on them and put their name underneath it so everybody can see they're walking out because the Word hit them in the heart. Listen to what he says now. The Lord is at hand. So what's our response to the coming of the Lord? Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That verse means don't be anxious. Jesus said the same thing with the so-called Sermon on the Mountain. Don't you get yourself all worried about anything. Be careful for no thing. Don't worry about anything. But here's what you do. Everything by prayer and supplication along with thanksgiving, that is the fruit and the root of rejoicing. Because I rejoice in God, I'm thankful to God because I believe in God that whatever I'm confronted with, God is going to take care of it because I know what he wants. Here's what happens. When you don't know what God wants and you're confronted by an uncomfortable circumstance, you blame other people or try to get them to solve it. And here's what you're doing. Anything you put before the will of God and the person of God is called idolatry. It's saying to God, I don't like the way you're doing this. You're not doing it the way I want it. So I'm going to put myself in a position to need a human. And if that human dies, I'm going to be in a bad position. God says, fine, then I'm going to take the human. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell God about it. Now, the Bible does not say when you tell God about something, he's going to give you what you ask him for. It does not say that. Paul does not suggest that. He says that once you ask God, the peace of God will garrison your mind. You see what he's saying? You know what that means? That means if God says no, you're going to be at peace with it. If God tells you, I'm not going to do that, and you'll know he's not doing it by action. He ain't doing it. He didn't do it. That's how you know he's not going to do it. He ain't do it. He didn't do it. See, a lot of times, particularly in Pentecost, we'll go to God and say, Father, heal me of such and such. And he doesn't heal us of it. So then we don't go to get medical care. We just quote a bunch of scriptures from presumption rather than knowing what God wants. Faith is not presumption. It is not you getting what you want. It is you realizing what God wants. Many people leave churches. Why? Because I'm not getting what I want. I don't like what the pastor said, and I don't like what the pastor did, so I'm going to stay out. What they don't realize is that God had the pastor say what he said, or he had the person say do what they did to get you out. Pride won't let you see that. You're not hurting us by leaving. You're blessing us by not being here. Think about it. Your leaving does not cause demise of the move of God. You look at the church and they're going forth flourishing. That's when you say, well, my God, it must have been me. Now, if you're humble, you'll come back and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I messed up. It was that spirit on me that caused the division. It was the spirit on me that caused people not to join the choir. It was that spirit on me that caused people not to attend this service. It was me, not them. Why? Because if God is God, no devil can stop his work.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1217A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.